right, very good. Well, in tradition of our pastor, I put a set of notes up here if anybody's interested on the deck there. He does that, so I did that today as well. Made some copies of the notes. For those of you that have not heard me before, it's a real privilege and a blessing to get to speak to you. I met one of our, where's Jen? Jen, are you here? I met her this week. Jen was working at the Furs. We had a pastor's prayer this week. It was phenomenal. You know, we meet at the Furs every 3 months, I think it is. We had 85 pastors on Wednesday, and we washed each other's feet. 85 pastors washing each other's feet. Everybody washed somebody's feet. Everybody washed more than one person's feet, really. And they just kept getting in line and getting more water and more towels, and it was pretty cool. And so when you have pastors in a community coming together like that, that's a pretty powerful thing. And you know, that really fits with the grace of God. You can't really do those things on your own. It's the grace of God at work. And those of you that know me, you know I've been speaking that we're in a move of God's Holy Spirit for the last 16 years. We're in a spirit of knowing, intimacy, community. And it's a grassroots revolution. It's not as dynamic as the spirit of might, which was the previous move. But it's a way more powerful. It's intimate, it's deep, it's transparent. Unity is through diversity, not conformity. It's when everything is different, but it comes together by one spirit. And God is doing that. And so I give credit to Holy Spirit. I give credit to Jesus, credit to Father God for what's happening in our city and in the cities of the world. It's a privilege today here to be speaking about going the next step beyond being born to be loved, which I'm going to call, as you've been born to be loved, born again to love. It's the theme that we're releasing here, the leadership is releasing for us beginning this month, is born to be wild. And that's really living from your heart. But it's impossible for you to live from your heart unless you first know you're loved. You know, Jesus shed blood from his soul to give you back your will, the will of God in your life. And that really will comes back into you, the want to. Here I am comes when you get a revelation that you were born to be loved. And so he shed blood from his soul to give you the power of his spirit in your soul. Here I am. I was born to be loved by him. But then he also was blindfolded and beaten. And when he was beaten, I believe he bled on the inside, where you're supposed to live from. People in the world live from the outside, very surface. What happened to me, my past experience, the things I've seen, the things I've heard, the things I know, the things I think I know. And so very often that kind of thinking ends up being a fear-based mentality. I'm going to be careful because I don't want that to happen again. Or I'm going to do this because I think what happened for so-and-so is better than what happened for me. And so I'm going to do that. And so it's all based on this external vision, which ends up being very fear-based. But God wants us to live from our hearts. Now, Pastor Jonathan said a couple of powerful things last week, and I want to trigger on this. Because I've been speaking Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62 this year on that blog that you saw, tedforyou.com. If you follow me, I am writing right now on my Monday blog concerning what I believe God is doing prophetically on planet Earth. And I believe that we're in a move of the Spirit this year that has to do with realizing who we are as the people of God. And Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to open the prison doors to those who are bound. And Pastor Jonathan mentioned those verses last week to us. And he made a couple of statements that were very powerful. He says, we're not anointed. We're anointed for good news. We're not anointed to tell people bad news. We're not anointed to put people in bondage. We're anointed for good news. Jesus said, they forget to write those words down, but he said that. He said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He didn't say, if anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink and you'll be satisfied. He said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and from inside of you will flow rivers of life-giving water. Now, I put that in modern English because I don't want you to be religious about living water. It either gives life or it doesn't. So Jesus said, if you want to know the real issue is this, you don't know who you are, grasshopper. If you come to me and drink, from inside of you will flow rivers of life-giving water. You see, you're anointed for good news. You're anointed to give life. You're not anointed to make judgments of others. You're not anointed to expose sin. You're anointed to give life, and life itself exposes sin. Don't worry about it. That takes care of itself. We know where we're missing it when he walks into the room. So we don't need someone to tell us where we're wrong. We need someone to tell us where is life. We need to do the same with the world. So we're anointed for good news. We're anointed to open doors. We're not anointed to put others in captivity or to put them in some form of prison that somehow they deserve by the knowledge of good and evil. Now, being anointed for good news means we're anointed for the gospel. The word gospel is not a translated word. It's a transliterated word or a made-up word in a sense in our language, because if we translated the word, it would be good news, and you're smart enough to know the difference between good news and bad news. But when they put the scriptures in Latin and they put it in English and German and other languages, we had become on a road of becoming religious instead of relational. And so we created this thing of the Jesus came so that when you die, you would go to heaven. And we actually then created this theme that said, Jesus came because you're going to hell and you don't want to go to hell. So come to Jesus so you don't go to hell. And so we created this our world and his world. We're in our world, and then someday, because of salvation, we go to his world. But Jesus didn't come so that you would know about his world. He came to tell you your world is actually his world, has been his world, has always been his world, and he's trying to get heaven into your earth. He wants to move into your neighborhood. He likes your neighborhood. He likes your life, and he wants to move into your life. And so he came to talk to you about the kingdom of God, not about heaven and the hereafter. But the kingdom of God is an internal kingdom, not an external kingdom. It's a kingdom that comes inside of your heart, and therefore it changes all kingdoms. It consumes all kingdoms. So it's good news. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7 and 9, where it talks about Abraham. It says, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles, people who did not have a clue, people who just simply were not in covenant with God. It isn't a dirty word. It isn't a less word compared to the word Jew. It's not a lesser race of people than Jewish people. It's people who had no clue there was a God who loved them and wanted to give them a covenant. That's what Gentile means. So translating it, foreseeing that he would justify people who didn't have a clue. And he would justify them by faith. Now, how does faith come?
By hearing.
Okay. Okay, we got all that. Be real. I don't know anything. I don't have a clue guy. How does faith come? Okay, let's get, when God speaks to the human heart, faith happens. When I hear God inside of me, faith happens. We got all these religious quotes. We want to make sure we don't get it wrong. I mean, we're all tweaked about, we got to get the verse right and the chapter right, and they didn't even add the chapters and the verses until, the 15th century. So you don't even have chapters and verses, and you're so tweaked about, do we get the right verse? I walk up to people and they say, God's been speaking to me about Luke 18, 17 through 15, or 17 through, that wouldn't be 17 through 15, it would be, might as well be. I don't care what numbers you're hearing in your head. I want to know what God is speaking to your heart. Now, don't accuse me of not loving the Bible. Get around me. You'll find out I love the Bible. I love God's words. But I love his present voice more than his past voice. But his past voice is a witness to his present voice. So only those who have faith, those who hear God in their hearts, those who have a relationship with God are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify those who didn't have a clue by this faith, hearing God in their hearts, preach the gospel, preach the really good news. I'm translating it. He preached really good news to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So the good news was preached to Abraham. So what was the good news preached to Abraham? Was it, Abraham, I'm going to make a way so that when you die, you don't go to hell because you're a nasty Chaldean. You were born in Ur of Chaldee, a place called Burning Demons. Your life sucks. When you die, there's damnation and hellfire for you. But I've got really good news for you. Someday in the future, won't have anything to do with you. I'm going to send Jesus, and people won't have to go to that place. They'll go to heaven when they die. No, God shows up as a whisper in the wind. There is no Bible. There is no written scripture. Zero, zippo, not even Genesis is written. There's probably an oratory story about a man named Job circulating around. And a man hears a voice in the whisper of the wind, Abram. He's a Chaldean. He hears a voice. And God wants to give him really good news. And so he says, follow me, follow me. And so this Abram, he goes on a journey. This human being, he starts following the whisper of the wind. He starts following this voice. He starts following God's, his experience with God. And as he's following, he's on this journey, God comes and preaches the really good news to him. So what is the really good news? In Genesis chapter 22, in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham. Now, here's the story. Abram has now been transformed to become Abraham. Ha, ha, Abraham. The sound of God has come into his life. Have you had the sound of God come into your life? Ha, Abraham. Ha. When God's sound comes into your substance, into your fabric, not into your head, but into your being, you become a different person. When God's sound comes into your character, your nature, your way, oh, you become a different human being. You were born an Abram who was born to be loved, but now you become an Abraham. Now you are born again to love. You born to be wild, born to live from your heart, born to be a blesser. And so this Abraham, God says to him, you know, go and offer your son. I'm not going to go into that story. Basically, he was willing to give up his own son because he knew that if he did, God would raise his son from the dead. Because he knew his friend, God, to be his friend. So there is nothing that he could do that his friend would ask that would limit his friend from doing what he had promised. God was his friend. See, Abraham knew that he was born to be loved. And so he was willingly to offer his son, and God said, wait a minute, I'm not that kind of God. I'm not going to take your son. He provided a scapegoat, a ram in the thicket. And then at the end of that, God said, now I know, and the truth is, now you know. It's really God saying, now you know that I know I love you. And then he preached the good news to him. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, Now, if your translation says, I will really bless you, or I will greatly bless you, some translations say that. In the Hebrew, this is a double word. The word blessing is twice. And it's more accurate to say, blessing, I will bless you, than I'm going to really bless you. The second, multiplying, I will multiply you. In the Hebrew, it's multiply is twice. It's some translations translate that to say, and I will really multiply you. There's some truth in that statement. I'm going to really bless you. I'm going to greatly multiply you. But it's more powerful to say, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. Your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. Now, this is the gospel. The gospel is, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Your descendants shall possess the present influences, the gates of their enemies. And through your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So I've got some really good news for you, Chaldean. I've got some really good news for you, who was born in that place called Burning Demons, where you had no future and no hope. Ha! I got some really good news for you. Now that my ha has come into your name, now that my sound is coming into you, now that I am in your life, now that my kingdom is in your heart, now that I've come into your life, something comes out of you that's like a life-giving water. Ha! Now you know who you really are. You're anointed to preach really good news. You're anointed to open prison doors. You're anointed to release those captives. You have an anointing because of something that's inside of you. Ah, Abraham. You have something inside of you. And now because you know who you really are, in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you, your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. What are the present gates that you're so worried about? Quit worrying about the gates and start focusing on your children and your children's children, and the gates that try to get you will be taken by them. Your sons will be like arrows in the quiver pulled out for the promises of God, and they will execute the judgments of God's love to destroy the things that are trying to destroy you now. See, God doesn't love you to bless you. He loves you because he knows who you are. You were born to be loved by God so that you know who you are. Who are you? You are a blessing. You are a blessing. When you know who you really are, he will bless who you really are. Now, you have a brain, and we tend to think right here, our thinking. You also have two hands. Most people do. Not everyone does. Everyone has some form of expressing, whether you use your feet, one hand, no hands. You have some way of these, an expression that's like these appendages that I have. Okay, everybody's unique and different. Okay, I know of a man, you know, Nick, no, how do you say his last name? No arms, no legs. He what a wonderful man who has powerful hands. Now, a lot of people get tweaked by the mark of the beast. You know, the mark of the beast is mentioned once in the Bible, and the mark of God is mentioned like five times. And the mark of God is a mark on your forehead and a mark on the back of your hand. It's not a chip, not a potato chip, not a computer chip. It's a way of thinking. And it's a mark on the back of your hands. It's described for Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your might. You shall talk about it with your family when you're going in, when you're coming home. It's your way of life. And so what is your thinking? You live to love God and others. And so what do your hands do? They're givers. They're blessers. These are not instruments to take anything. Hands were not given you to take things from the world. Hands were given to you to give to the world. There's a kingdom inside of you that has the power to give life to the world that you live in. Your thinking and your hands is the way of receiving what's inside of you, getting it out of you. So you're not loved so that you'll be blessed. You're loved so that you'll know who you are. You're a blessing. Therefore, you are a blesser. In blessing, I will bless you. In knowing who you are, I will make who you are be life to the world. And then in multiplying, I will multiply you. Multiplying is different than addition. Addition is a taking attribute. Multiplying is a giving attribute. So having been loved by God, we now live to love. Love is demonstrated through actions that give life to others. Love's an attribute of multiplication, not addition. Love's an attribute of multiplication, not addition. So last week, our pastor said, you're anointed, bring good news. And he put some people on the stage and we spoke good words. And maybe you were in the crowd and you said, well, I wish they would do that with me. You know, that's not an attribute of who you really are. Because you're not anointed to get. You're anointed to give. So when you see someone else being blessed, it's not time to say, when am I going to be blessed? It's time to say, wow, they're being blessed because they knew who they are, and I know who they are, and I know who I am. See, multiplication, you were born to give greater value to someone else. 1 + 1 = 2. Two plus two is four. 2 × 2 = 4, but it's more. Because 2 + 2 = 4 as one, but 2 × 2 = 4 beyond me. Multiplication means it's going beyond me. Addition is adding to my life. The kingdoms of the world live to add to my life, to add to my life. What can I get? How successful am I going to be? What am I going to do with my life? God doesn't care what you're going to do with your life. He wants to know what you're going to do with his life. Because at some point, his life that he gave you, you're going to transition out and somebody else is going to be taking your ceiling and it's going to be their floor. So what are you going to do with his life? So that when his life goes into the next generation, are you living to multiply? You see, you were born to be loved, but now you're born again to love. And of course, descendants possessing the gates is beyond you, the next generation, the generation after that. And through your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I want it to be said of me when I died, he believed God, therefore he acted. He acted, therefore he dreamed. He dreamed, therefore his children and his children's children were born with vision. His children and his children's children were born with vision, therefore many families were blessed. See, long before the blessing goes beyond me, I'm probably going to be in heaven. Yeah, but I don't care. I don't care if I live to be a very old man. I'd like to live to be a very old man, but I'd rather live to be a very old tree. With branches. A family tree. a tree of life, a tree that gets more and more life as the generations unfold. We were singing this morning. What was it? We were talking about this place. Ben was leading us in a prayer. I think we were talking about blessing this place somewhere. I don't know. I had my grandson in my arms. We were talking about the place. And I had just a little moment with the Holy Spirit, and I realized the place that I really called the blessing was already in my arm. It wasn't this physical room. It was a place that goes beyond my life. Did you hear that? So if I'm going to have faith toward God, faith toward the person God, it's not about what can happen in my life. It's what can happen because of my life. Huh? That's the multiplication versus the adding. What can happen in my life is addition. But what can happen because of my life is multiplication. So you were born to be loved, but then you were born again to love. Now, love goes beyond your lifetime to the generations. It's demonstrated through actions. In 1 John, I'm going to look at several verses in the book of 1 John. It's a good idea to read books in the Bible as books, not just verses and chapters. And get themes. The whole book of 1 John is about love. It's about this multiplication thing. It's about living for others. Even when it says you test the spirits to see they're of God, for many false prophets have gone out, it's not about testing the voice in your life. It's about testing the voice that comes out of your life. Because the witness is the spirit that says Jesus has come in the flesh, in you. Christ in you is the witness to the voice of God. And how would you know it's Christ in you? It empowers you to live for others. It doesn't leave you thinking, when am I going to get mine? In 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, what does that mean? I believe the true testimony of walking in the light of Christ is seen in our fellowship with one another, and that fellowship is a fellowship of the Spirit. It's a testimony to the blood shed by Jesus at Calvary. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, walking in the light, if I'm walking in the light, that means I am light. And what is the purpose of light? What happens when light walks into a dark room? It expels the darkness, so night becomes day. So your purpose is to walk in the light. For what reason? To bring light wherever you go. It's impossible to shine light on sin and for it to remain as sin. It's impossible to shine light on darkness and it remain as darkness, so it's impossible to shine light on darkness and then talk about it. Because the moment you shine light on darkness, there's nothing to talk about anymore. Now, I'm saying this today because I believe we're in a move of the Spirit where God wants to reveal us as the people of God. And the people of God are different than the peoples of the world, not better than the peoples of the world. Different in the sense they invite the peoples of the world to also become people of God. You see, no one can change who you are when you know who you are. When you know who you are, you walk in the light. You walk as who you are, and who you are changes others. Who you are brings life to the others. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring really good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to open prison doors to those who are bound. See, he has anointed me for this purpose. If I walk in the light, this is the testimony of fellowship. Why do I want to be part of a body expression of Christ? Not so they can tell me who I am, but so that I can be light and help them discover who they are. Don't avoid coming together is the habit of some. Why? You want to make sure you come together so that everybody knows who they are. We walk in the light as he is in the light. Has nothing to do with memorizing scripture. Has nothing to do with being right. Matter of fact, some days you're willing to be wrong for the sake of someone else. Jesus was willing to be crucified for the sake of everyone else. And that wasn't right. In 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him, in Jesus, ought himself also to walk as he walked. And then verses 9 and 10 of that same chapter. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. So let me say that in a little different way. See, Jesus gave his love to us by giving his life for us. It wasn't dependent upon us loving him. It was dependent upon him being true to the character, nature, way, power, and authority of a Son of God. This is true for us as well. We give our love to one another by giving our life for one another. It's not dependent upon others giving their lives for us. This is the testimony of our fellowship. It is being empowered by God's grace to walk as Jesus walked, loving one another. So we don't come together to get. We come together to give. In the world, they're coming together to get. I mean, have you watched a political debate? Have you lived on planet Earth? Have you, you know? By the way, let me just give you a little pointer there. Would you please give everyone permission to think what they think? And would you not throw dirt at anyone for thinking something different than you? And if someone that you know loves you says something in support of someone that you don't love, could you trust the one that loves you and at least not say something bad about them? And would you trust the Holy Spirit in your decisions instead of your head? Because your preferences are probably not right. And I will tell you this, if you had this is a rabbit trail, but it's election year, yep. I will tell you this, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit and you need to walk in love. If we were to ask you, who do you want for your Persian leader, you would not have voted for Cyrus. He spoke like a Persian, acted like a Persian, thought like a Persian, but he was favorable to what God was doing in the earth. More favorable than the religious. Enough. And you don't have to like someone for them to be the one that God is choosing. Okay. Let's go on to that. Let's go to First John 3, verse 1 now. And I have to practice those things too, because it really, when I say those things, I have to listen to it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Think about that. Hey, wow, child of God. And then in verse 14 of this same chapter, 1 John 3, it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So let me say that in some different words. We were born to be loved by God, but we were born again to love others. We are children of God. The true testimony of passing from death to life is seen in our ability to love the family of God, even when other family members don't know who they really are. Maybe I should say that again. We were born to be loved by God, but we were born again to love others. We are children of God. The true testimony of passing from death to life is seen in our ability to love the family of God, even when other family members don't know who they are. Do you realize that when Jesus, the root and the fruit of the tree of life, died for all the people of the earth, all people, all of the people, he came, he didn't come to die for you. He came to reconnect you to the correct family tree. You were living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, wrong family. He came to tell you who you are, grasshopper. He didn't come to die for you. He came to reconcile you, reconnect you, get you back into the tree. And he was willing to die for you to make that happen. He came so that you would know who you are. You're a blessing. He came so that you would live as a blessing. Therefore, you would seek to multiply and you would live for your children and your children's children. And the result would be all the families of the earth would be blessed. He came to tell you that you in Whatcom County, in Skagit County, you in Island County, he came to tell you that you're here for a reason. You're here because you're a blessing. And when you know who you are, he will anoint you to be who you are. And therefore, you'll live to empower others to be who they are. And then you'll live for the future generations in this city of hope. And then the future generations in this city of hope will become a place where families are blessed. Now, that's more powerful than just seeking to bless you. Let me give you a secret. When you sense something, when you know, God is doing powerful things right now, I'm so excited with what I've heard come out of our community, A-Life community, in this year. I'm so encouraged with what I've heard come out of other churches. I've been preaching and speaking partnerships. I was down at our good friend Cesar Chavez down at Deming, and he was apologizing. He said, oh, I'm apologizing because we don't have a meeting on Saturday. We've got this dinner we're doing for the first responders, and we're partnering with seven other churches. I said, don't apologize. My word is partnership. So 2 weeks ago, I spent my Saturday cooking in a kitchen, 500 pounds of brisket, feeding hundreds of policemen and firemen and the medics, paramedics in the city with eight churches coming together. Wow! What a wonderful sermon Holy Spirit preached that day. And you know what they were shocked at? They were shocked that I was in the kitchen shredding beef. I'm thinking that's sad when we're shocked that a leader would be in the kitchen shredding beef. Besides that, I had to be part of the quality control. You can't let those burned edges go out.
I had to teach. I had a staff back there going. I'm telling you, my leadership gift was kicking in. I tell you, I had a staff going back there in the kitchen. We were making sure quality control. No burnt pieces go out and let anybody get hurt. Okay, 1 John 4. What did I just do? I did 1 John 3:14, didn't I? Okay. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Let's say that in a little different way. Being born of God empowers us to love like God loves. It is miraculous, and it's fully dependent upon the tree of life. It's not an attribute of the old tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is an internal power of life from the kingdom of God within our hearts. Being able to love like Jesus loved means you have to live from the heart. You got to be wild. You got to live from the heart. You got to be ridiculous, unreasonable. You got to live beyond the limitations of what people deserve or don't deserve. You got to live from the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong. And then you'll find yourself loving people you shouldn't be loving by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because they're wrong, and you're right. They're wrong. But that's wrong. According to the tree of life. It's worse than wrong. It's death. Okay. So we got to be as Jesus is to be the people of God. Our love for one another is not dependent upon them loving us. 1 John 4:10. We're almost done with this. Just, you could read 1 John, the chapters. Ask Holy Spirit to speak to you. He's involved in that writing. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the erasing of sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We ought to love one another. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. When are they going to pray for me? That's torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We have boldness. Oops, let me go back. I left my notes. Oh. Electronics, I popped out of my note. Come on back. Who? Good. We're back. Like magic. We have boldness, verse 17, we have boldness in a day of judgment because as he is, we are in this world. Let's say that a little differently. We have boldness in every day of judgment because we have no fear of being judged. We have a revelation of God's love for us, and that perfect love casts out all fear. And we are being made perfect in love. That's the God I know. That's the God who's always known me. It's the God I'm beginning to discover more and more. See, we were born to be loved, but then we were born again to walk like Jesus, to love. Now, don't compare your love with someone else's love. Don't pride yourself in how much you're loving and how someone else is loving. That's not loving. And don't shame yourself with how you're not loving and compare yourself with who you think is loving, because that's not loving either. What is that? That's making a judgment. You see, when you're born to be loved, you can't be offended. When an earthquake comes, your world doesn't shake, because I was born to be loved. All things will work together for good. Not everything is good, but it'll work out. He loves me. When the earth shakes, when things shake, when people don't treat me rightly, it's okay. I was born to be loved. But now that I cannot be offended, I got to say this. I have to say it at least once when I preach. Hello, you're supposed to be offended, but you're never supposed to take offense. So this whole issue, tolerance is a weed. Acceptance is the true plant. Tolerance says you've got to accept me as I am because I'm not going to change. Acceptance says I receive you exactly as you are. I don't know about you, but I'm not as I should be. Let's look to him and see what happens. Acceptance says, come exactly as you are. I don't care. I got my stuff too. But now let's look to him and see what he makes us. In other words, I'm not going to limit you by what you think you are. I'm going to say, come exactly as you are. Now let's look to him and see what happens. Because none of us are as we should be. But if I look at you and say, well, this is what, you know, if you say, well, I'm purple, and I'm looking at you and you're not purple, you come to me. Now, Jonathan, his hair hasn't been purple yet. I say, you know, you're looking good there, but I like that color right there. That's nice. So you might come and you say, well, I'm purple, and I'm looking at you. Well, you're not purple. It's okay. Oh, that's all right. You're purple? Come on. I accept you as purple. Now let's look to him and see what we really are. And then it's up to you, and it's up to between you and God whether he wants you to know, hey, you're not purple. But that's an internal voice, not an external voice. So born to be loved, born again to love. You see, back in Isaiah 61, this is where I'm going to close. I believe this theme of being the people of God, moving to another level of being able to love. Love is an action, not just an emotion. Love is a supernatural thing. Love comes. Love, first of all, is a revelation, not a command. If you're living by the command, love God and love your neighbor, if that's what you heard today, if you came here today and you heard, oh, that Pastor Ted Hansen, he told us that we have to love, it's a commandment. I didn't say that. It's a revelation. You see, the law and the prophets were dependent on two commandments, and they didn't work. The law didn't work, and the prophets didn't work. Matter of fact, have you ever used that verse, John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and life more abundance, foundation of this church. You know, I used to think that was the devil, but you know, John 10:10 is not talking about the devil. It's talking about the law. And it says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. The law came before me, but it was a thief and a robber. It didn't change you because it measured you by what you are not. I came to measure you by who you really are. You just don't know who you are, child of God. I came to get you back in your family tree. I came to get you back in the roots of me. I came to tell you and give you your proper identity. I came to reveal that you were born to be a blessing in this world. Now in blessing, I will bless you. And you were born to give greater value to others because of who you are. In multiplying, I will multiply you. And that which is coming off of you, flowing through you, your descendants will possess the gates of their enemies. And through through your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I've got really good news for you. I've made a way to get inside your heart. I've brought the kingdom that consumes all other kingdoms. I've come to bring my kingdom inside of you, a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, where you can live. You were born to be loved, but you are also born to be wild, born to be wild. Not for the sake of getting, for the sake of giving. Your hands are blessing instruments. Your imagination, your mind is a creating tool for the sake of the world. So in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, open the prison doors to those who are bound, to declare the acceptable year, Jubilee, the day of vengeance, kick butt of the enemy, not you, to comfort those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Why? Why? So that they will be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And he will be glorified. You see, God is shifting in the season right now by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is wanting his people to know, you are my children. You are the people of God. And you have an anointing, not to free people, but to be free and to plant other free people who are free and seek to plant other free people. And then what happens? They shall rebuild, they shall raise up, they shall repair. For something to be rebuilt means it was torn down. For something to be raised up, it had been collapsed. For something to be made new or repaired, it was destroyed. But God has really good news. You're the answer to bring life to the world. So what were we doing last week? We're speaking words. This is who you really are. I know who you are. This is who you are. We're to speak words. Final verse, Isaiah 62, 12. I'll leave you with this. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and they shall be sought out, a city not forsaken. See, when we walk in a living relationship with God, empowered by the administration of the tree of life, things get rebuilt, they get raised up, they get made new. And we'll be known as the people of God. We'll be sought out. We'll be people who are not forsaken. Everyone should be sought out. Everyone should be known as not forsaken. Every baby that was born in this world should be known. You're sought out. You're not forsaken. And it comes when the people of God become the people of God and invite all of the family. See, they're living in the wrong tree. Invite all the family home. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you that there's an anointing upon us. There's an anointing in us. Even 1 John says we don't need anyone to teach us, but the context is love, not information. So it's not something anyone can teach us. It's inside of us. We have this anointing inside of us. That's the context of 1 John. It's we were born again. We were born to be loved by you, but we were born again to love. And so, Lord, let this anointing that's inside of us be the power that comes outside of us so that we live out loud what's inside of our hearts. And there's this testimony, this supernatural grace of born again to love others. That all that we do to love others. I'll give you a testimony. I have a man that I know, I've met. I did a conference with him overseas. And he has a wonderful testimony in his early conversion. He was a Muslim. He came to Christ. And he was, he wanted to take communion after he got born again. And they wouldn't let him take communion because he hadn't been baptized. I think all of that is silliness. But in whatever case, they wouldn't let him take communion because he hadn't been water baptized. So he said, please, water baptize me so that I can take communion. You know, water baptism is supposed to be a work that speaks of faith. And they said, well, we can't do it because if we water baptize you, the Muslim community will kill you. And if we water baptize you, they will kill us. So they wouldn't do it until finally he found a man named Jim, who was an American missionary. This was in Africa. And he was an American missionary. He had a wife and three small children. And Jim said, I'll water baptize you. So Jim water baptized this man that I know. And then this man that I know was able to take communion. And then a while later, he went and he asked, what about Jim? And Jim's wife came to him and said, they killed Jim for water baptizing you. And my friend that I know started to cry, and he said, I'm sorry. And Jim's wife said, it's okay. If Jim was here, he would do it again. So this man that I know says when he takes communion, his personal experience with God, he doesn't just know that Jesus died for him. He knows that Jim died for him. Works that speak of faith toward God are works of love. Jim baptized my friend not because it was the ministry ceremony to do, but because it was an act of love toward a family member. And it cost him his life, not in eternity, just cost him his life in this world. But I would bet that those three young children are growing up with a great legacy. So I'm challenging us to think, if I know he loves me, God, would you empower me to love someone else, even if no one notices? Because when no one notices, that's also a form of death. And are you willing to love others based on not only who you are, but based on who God knows them to be, even if no one says, well done, good and faithful servant? Could you stand with me? Father God, I'm so glad that we were born for such a time as this, that we were born in our families, in our community, in our city. God, I know that you want everyone in this city, every member of every family here, every family member connected to them, you want them to know you. Knowing you, you want them to know who they are. They should be the family of God. They should be the children of God. This city should know who they are, every man, every woman. Those who don't have a clue, the riches of those who don't have a clue belong to you. The riches of those who don't know what they are, don't know who they are, belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you in their life. I'm not interested in their stuff. I'm interested in them. I'm interested in them coming to understand who they are for the sake of blessing, for the sake of multiplying, for the sake of the increase in the generations and the testimony of your life coming. So Would you allow this anointing that's inside of us, God? Would you allow this anointing that's inside of us? You said this river would flow. Would you allow it to be such that more people are released from the old tree and revealed in the new tree this year, that there would be a rebuilding, a raising up, and making things new? God, that we could be the people of God for the sake of this city. Would you anoint us, allow that anointing that's inside of us to love, affect our marriages, affect our parenting, affect our ability to work in our workplaces? Would you let that revelation of that we are born to be loved by you be so powerful that it impacts us to realize that, whoa, we've not only been born to be loved, we've been born again to love. And would you allow this revolution, this grassroots revolution that's inside of us, to take hold of our souls? And would you allow us to walk forward in the testimony of life? Okay. Say this if you want to. I am a blessing. I am a blessing. That's who you say, I am, God. I thank you that you are blessing me to be me. And I thank you that you put me in a world where there are others. And I want the value of what you put in me to affect the lives of who they are. Help me to help them become the greatest them. And let the fruit grow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for putting up with my long-windedness today. I appreciate your prayers. I'm headed off this week to Bulgaria. I'll be in Bulgaria very, very busy with a church that's fantastic, gone through some real difficult things against them, but the church is flourishing. And then I'll be in Spain teaching, and then in Africa. So I'm 22 days out. So please keep me in prayer. And I appreciate it. I love my family. I love you guys. Bless you.